sports opinion. With chicken and beer is growing here. Wrapped up in the podcast network rotation. Sports opinion with chicken and beer is growing here. Wrapped up in the podcast network rotation. Sports opinion.
To me, man. It's your boy Young Hope. If you turn the motherfucking noise up, we can get right into the proceedings this evening. The headphones are distorting. Bring it down a little bit. Okay. Now we working with it. The boy face up and baseline, baby. Small. Welcome to New York City. It's your boy Young Hope.
Cheer.
Kanye West on the track. Chi-town. What's going on now? Can I talk to y'all for a minute? Let me talk to y'all for a minute. Just give me a minute of your time, baby. I don't want much. Let me talk to these motherfuckers. Guess who's Bizak? Still smell a crack in my clothes. Don't make me have to relapse on these hoes. Take it back down the tax in a row. When I was hugging it, niggas couldn't do nothing with it. Straight from the oven with it. Came from the dirt. I emerged from it all without a stain on my shirt. You could blame my old earth for the shit she instilled in me. Still with me. Pain plus work. Shit, she made me milk this game for all it's worth. That's right. These niggas can't fuck with me. I'm calling guts every time. Track my nuts every time, homie. We make a great combination, don't we? Me and the face ball. Every time we face off, face it, y'all. Y'all niggas playing basic ball. I'm on the block like I'm 8 feet tall. Homie, I'm in the drop with the AC off. That's why the streets embrace me, dog. I'm so cool.
Guess who's back? Zach, back on the block with the old face mark, black mittens and home. Don't make me relapse.
Yo, what's going on, everybody? Welcome to the Beer and Chicken Podcast. I am one of your hosts, Mr. Span. I'm here with the homeboy Cliff, aka DJ Neff. Say what's up to the people, fam.
Let's get it. Let's get it.
Let's fucking get it. But before we get it, we're gonna rock out a little bit more to this. Guess who's back, my nigga? We're gonna rock out just a little bit more.
Gotta get this cake, dog. Give niggas a break. No, you know how the game go. Fuck you think I slang for to go against the grain? No, I'm out here in grind mode. Up in a paper chase, I wanna fuck a fine hoe and candy paint the 88. Don't got no wholesale, cause that ain't how I wanna run it. Here, take these 5 stones and bring a nigga back 100. Gotta see my feet, dude. You do see the fiend, dude. If I get too hot in the kitchen, I hit the streets, fool. Money is an issue, and that's on the shizzle. My nizzle, your block warm, and I come by with the fizzle. And make for sure I get to work mine a car at a time. We go to war, and you ain't making a dime. Cause I got shit to lose. A nigga out here paying his dues. My baby walking, gotta get him some shoes. It's a new game brewing. Let me give you the rules. Get out of line and I'ma give you the blues. It's a new game brewing. Let me give you the rules. Get out of line and I'ma give you the blues.
Whoa. Guess who's Bizak? The boy B Mizak.
Beanie, my boy, but we got to get the fuck out.
That's the best part.
I know it is, man. We can't play the whole song, no, B. We can't play the whole song, man. Facebook be on that bullshit, bro. They be on that bullshit. But yo, man, we are back. It's episode 47 of the Beer and Chicken Podcast. As I said before, I'm your host, Mr. Span. I'm here with the homeboy Cliff, a.k.a. DJ Neff. And yo, man, it's been a couple weeks. It's been some busy. We've been some busy motherfuckers, man. You know, being dads and working and all this other good shit. How was your Father's Day, bro?
It was the only day since last Father's Day that I haven't had, that I didn't do anything but relax. So it was worth it.
Yeah, man. It was cool, man. I ain't do shit. But, you know, the wife, you know, my wife made, you know, my in-laws came over. We had dinner here at the house. And my wife did the shrimp and grits, my nigga. And
that Creole joint?
Nigga. Nigga. I ain't one to brag, you know what I'm saying? But when it came to the cooking department and my wife, nigga. I lucked up.
I brag. I'd be like, hey, y'all see this? That's my boy wife. I don't want to say her name, but you throw down. I ain't even had it yet, but I know it's good.
Man, listen. I don't deserve my wife, man, is all I'm saying. I don't deserve her. I don't know how I lucked up on this one. But, yeah, man, she be throwing down, man, and she hooked us up with the shrimp and grits, man. The only thing about it, like the salmon, because she got this real nice salmon dish that she does, man. Every time she does a salmon and the shrimp or grits, I'm mad when it's over. You know what I'm saying? It ain't no more. You know what I'm saying? Like, hey, we got any more of that shit in there? Nah. So, oh, you shit. We got somebody from the click in the motherfucking chat room already. And he already popping shit. This nigga Dewan up in here popping shit.
Yo,
what's up, dude?
I'm glad this show is about sports, because other than that.
Man. So check this out. We're going to get into everything, because mostly we're going to talk NBA tonight, right? We're going to talk a lot of NBA. But, of course, before we do that, we got to remind you guys how to get in touch with us over here at the Beer and Chicken Podcast. Let your voice be heard. Go ahead and hit up that hotline at area code 313-288-0485. That's area code 313-288-0485. Leave those voicemail messages. We'll replay them on the show and respond right here on the show. But if you're watching live right now, you can call us and chop it up with your mans right here on the show. 313-288-0485. You can also hit us up on our website at www.beerandchickenpod.com. That's www.beerandchickenpod.com. You can go there, leave us, not leave us no reviews. You used to be able to watch replays of the show, but now you can only watch us live because Facebook owned the bullshit. So you can watch us live from the website. You can actually vote in the polls there. You can leave comments there. You can go to our donate tab. You can donate to the show as often as you like, as much as you like. And, of course, we appreciate every dime over here at the Spin Report Podcast Network and the Beer and Chicken Podcast specifically. And you can hit up our Patreon, man. Go ahead and hit up the Patreon, because we're trying to move this shit off of Facebook and onto something more reputable. And they ain't censoring us in the ways in which Facebook is censoring us, preferably Crowdcast, right? So if you go ahead and sign up for our Patreon, become a Patreon patron. There's three different levels. There's a $2 level, the $5 level, and the $10 level. And they come with different things, man. So we can thank you live here on the show. You get a free gift. If you go one step further, you can get discounts, permanent discounts in our store. If you go one step further than that, so, and we're gonna come up with some more perks for the Patreon, campaign and whatnot. But we really do appreciate everybody who's decided to donate to us right here at the Spare Report Podcast Network and the Beer and Chicken Podcast specifically. Man, we already got like gifts sent out to folks. I'm getting like the delivery folks. Like, people are saying they stuff are coming in already. So it's real good, man. It's real good. For those of you who signed up for that Patreon, man, we really do appreciate everybody who does that. Also, you can follow me on Twitter. My name is Mr_Span on these Twitter streets. And the homeboy Cliff is, what's your name on Twitter, bro?
DJ Neff2.
There you go. DJ Neff2 on these Twitter streets, man. There you go. And then also, email us at feedback@beerandchickenpod.com. feedback@beerandchickenpod.com. Send us those emails. And, of course, we'll read those emails here and, respond to you live here on the show. Leave us a 5-star review on iTunes and or Stitcher Radio. This is one way for you to put down for the show that it doesn't cost you a dime. Just 2 minutes of your time to say exactly why you fucking with us over here at the Beer Chicken Podcast Network. And we got a review to read. So we read those 5-star reviews here on the show, man. We really want to thank you guys for doing that. It really does help the show grow, man. Real talk. And as a matter of fact, while I'm talking about the 5-star reviews on iTunes and or Stitcher, we got us a 5-star review on iTunes. And I'm going to read this here. This comes from Elson. And Elson writes in and said, "This is a really dope show. 5 stars. I've been listening to this show from the beginning. I love the show and look forward to hearing it every week. There's true friendship with the host, and they keep it at a real level in terms of sports and real life. Also, the jokes stay on 10. Excellent show. So do yourself a favor and get yourself a listen. Treat yourself." Thank you, Elson, for that 5-star review, man. We really do appreciate you, brother. Glad you enjoying the show. Glad you're listening, and we're glad you're looking forward to this shit every week, right? So,
hey, man.
Yes, sir. So, let's get into some of this shit.
Hey, real quick, yeah. And Stacy, yeah, this is my peach necker from the Garden of Eden.
Hold on,
damn good.
Mm-hmm. Oh, how you doing, Lashandra? How you doing? We got Stacy up in the chat room, and like I said, Dewan up in here acting nut. You know how we do. But so we're going to get into we actually got a voicemail from I believe this is from Shay. So we're going to listen to this first voicemail here. Let me play this here.
Well, this is Shay, and it sounds like modern day slavery when you talk about owners and they shouldn't be an owner. They should be a management for whatever it is. true. Yeah, they trade them. They pay money for the groups or whatever. But an owner literally will make every single decision about their lives. And clearly Draymond has made some real bad decisions. So they need to fix this stuff. I'm not even going to say the cuss word. And maybe then you'll be a true owner. Because they trade these things like, and they treat them like money. That's everything. All this, but yeah, it's my day favorite.
All right. So I think what Shay is referring to, we had a discussion here a couple weeks ago that, oh, how you doing? Okay, that's Shay right there. Okay, I didn't know that. See? But so basically what we were talking about Draymond Green. He said something on The Shop, on LeBron James' show, The Shop, about the fact that there are NBA owners, or the fact that the team owners are called owners, and whether or not that's appropriate considering that the vast majority of the league is predominantly black. And what we found out since then, though, is that the owner, or that the NBA has decided to not call team owners owners anymore. They call them governors. They call them governors now. Oh, shit, you done froze up, Cliff. And man, I should get a screenshot of this nigga's face right now, though. Like, you had froze up. What would you
say? See?
I can see you right now, but like, you seem to be freezing up. Uh-oh. Hold on, let me do this.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
But you can't see me?
I can see, but it's like you kind of choppy over there, bro.
I don't even know what to do, man. You want me to
do that refresh your screen shit, bro. Go ahead and refresh your screen and we'll see what's good to it. But yeah, so what the NBA has decided to do is instead of calling the NBA team owners, oh, Shay got the screenshot. Thank you so much. Shay got the screenshot. Oh, man. So I see. Okay, now you're back, man. Now you like flowing smooth and shit.
Shay, we ain't friends no more. Go ahead, Stan.
No, what they did was they decided to call it the team owners. They started to call them governors. In response to what he said, this happened like a couple years ago, but I know like when we were talking about it, it was a whole lot of backlash, especially from like talk radios, white dudes on talk radio, really upset at the notion of, you know, changing the name of this. And that's where I was like, you know, if white people got a problem with it, I'm probably all for it now.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So that was what was going on, man. Did you have any more thoughts about that at all?
After that show and how ridiculous sometimes I feel about Draymond Green. Mm-hmm. I mean, no, I'm kind of like done with it. I think a lot of the things around the whole, if they're called governors right now, if that's what they just decided to do, then it's nothing else to be said. That's just their opinion.
Yeah. I mean, I guess the thing was when you start seeing the reaction to how people were treating it, I'm just like, all right, so now y'all mad. It's as if y'all were dismissing what he was saying, or dismissing the fact that there may be other players within the league who also felt like Draymond was probably the only one who articulated that publicly. He might not have been the only one. And it was just like this thing of white. It was like listening to white talk radio concerning this particular issue. It was as if they were like, oh, God damn it, these niggers are at it again. So when they have that kind of attitude, yeah, man. Fuck y'all. I don't even really fuck with Draymond like that, but I'm with him on that one. Goddamn it. Fuck y'all. So yeah, man. That was in the news. Also, we got some poll results from our last episode, episode 46, The Legend of Kawhi Leonard. And we were asking guys, whether or not people were jumping the gun when it came to, crowning Kawhi Leonard, probably the best player in the NBA right now. You got folks who would say KD is a lot better. You got people who would say LeBron James, even though he's on the tail end of his career, he's still probably the greatest player in the league. And the voters have spoken. And so 58% of the Beer and Chicken listeners who voted in this poll said that they think that Kawhi Leonard is on his way to being the best player in the NBA. So that's maybe. He's maybe the best player in the NBA. 33% of our listeners say, I already had him there. He's the best player in the league. Y'all late. 33% of listeners of the Beer and Chicken podcast believe that Kawhi Leonard right now is the best player in the game. And 8% of them was like, yo, man, put y'all beers down, back away from the chicken. no, that nigga is not the best player in the league. Only 8% of the listeners of the Beer and Chicken podcast believe that, no, Kawhi Leonard has absolutely no business being in that discussion. You got any thoughts on that?
First of all, Kawhi is in the conversation.
Yeah, he is. He's period. He's top five right now.
Top five.
Yeah.
Is he the best? No. And I'm going with the 58%.
You got him in maybe.
I got the maybe, but he got a lot of competition there.
You know, the interesting thing about Kawhi Leonard, man, is like his game has pretty much, it's practically been the same since he was in San Antonio. He's been he's very efficient. It's almost as if he's moving in slow motion a lot of times. Like you don't get like the sense of Kawhi Leonard being very fast at all. Like he's very he's very deliberate in his motions and how he moves. He's strong as shit is what I found out in that finals, man. Because it was a couple times where he was going up with the ball, whether he was going up left-handed or whether or not he was going up right-handed, and somebody was grabbing him by the shoulder, and he was still able to finish the shot. He was still able to get his shot off. So he's strong as shit. But, yeah, I think he's definitely top five, maybe even top three right now as far as current NBA players. I would definitely put him top three. You'll be surprised as who I got, like, the number one and number two. But we're going to get to talking a little bit about that here in a second because we're going to talk about these NBA finals first, though. So Toronto Raptors win the NBA championship. None of us saw that shit coming. How did you feel about how the NBA finals ultimately played out?
I don't want to alleviate a huge determining factor, which is KD and Klay getting hurt, mm-hmm. right?
I mean, that is what it is. I mean, it's a part of why Toronto won.
We can't say that. I hate when people say that.
I believe that. Okay, go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead, do your thing.
Because nobody knows until it happens, right? That's just how I feel. Mm-hmm. But, you know, this is sports, and everybody is just as at risk as everybody else by getting hurt. So you got to have some better players on the bench. I don't know, you know, as far as when situations like that happen. And I don't want to knock KD and Klay for this, but I love the outcome of the finals. Mm-hmm. I loved it. To be able to have Kawhi do what he did, they actually kind of made Golden State look bad. Everybody's expectations to me was that Golden State was supposed to, like, give Toronto a game. You know what I'm saying? And then they was going to wipe them out. That ain't the way it went down. So I like the way to turn – I like the fact that Toronto won. Leonard, you know, he got MVP. Who got MVP of the league?
Of the league? We're going to talk about that later, man. But Kawhi Leonard won finals MVP.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I was just leading to something else.
Yeah.
But, I'm good with it, man.
So, like I said, I went into these finals thinking that, like, yo, Golden State will probably win this finals in six. And the two games I gave off of the strength of Kawhi Leonard. Like, I thought Kawhi Leonard was probably one of the top three players in the league. Surprised to see Toronto actually made it all the way to the NBA Finals, especially as close as that series with the Philadelphia 76ers was, where they basically won on Game 7 on a last-second fucking shot that Kawhi Leonard, ironically, was the one that hit that bitch.
And try it. Go ahead.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. But because we know Clay was on this nigga's the travel police, bro. This nigga's the travel police. But I was actually surprised that Toronto was able to, like, you know, kind of jump out and have a lead with Golden State in the series. And here's the thing, though, I really do believe that if KD had been healthy, we'd be having a different conversation. I don't believe that the Toronto Raptors would have won that series had KD been healthy. I also believe that had Klay Thompson not have gotten hurt, I believe that was in game two, that we probably would be looking at like a game seven NBA final series. Like, and then he got hurt in game six, the closeout game. He got hurt in game six. Yo, he was giving them the business in that game. Like, Klay was fucking hot in that game.
He had 30 in the first half.
He had 30 in the first half. Like, and so even despite them not having KD, that series was going six games, possibly seven games, if Klay Thompson doesn't go down with that knee injury. So, mm-hmm. You know, I'll say this, although I did not anticipate Toronto winning that particular series, I was also like, this is a damn good series. Like, I was like, this is a dope-ass finals to watch. Because, like, it was so... I was not privy to the fact that Pascal Siakam was as good as he was.
Yeah, I agree.
Fred Van Vliet came off the bench, and, like, he balled his ass off in Game 6. He balled his ass off pretty much all series, but he came out of out in Game 6 and pretty much kind of saved that fucking game for them. With a few clutch three-pointers. You were going to say something?
Add to that, he's from the crib, and he's an undrafted.
He was undrafted.
Undrafted,
yeah. So, I mean, like, Toronto surprised a lot of motherfuckers. They definitely surprised me. They surprised your boy. It was an enjoyable finals to watch, man. Low-key, real talk, as much as I thought Golden State was going to win this series, I was kind of rooting against them for this one little petty-ass reason. So check it. What I did not know was the Golden State Warriors had 6 championships, right?
They do?
They have 6 championships. When they were the Philadelphia Warriors and when they were like something else. I forget where they were before they was in Golden State. But they got 6 championships. You know, you see the little patch on the back of the jersey to tell you the number of championships they got. They got 6 of them. If they'd have won 7, they'd have put the Bulls down to number 4 as far as all-time championship winners in the league. And I wasn't having that, bro. I couldn't root for them on that. So yeah, I was kind of hoping Toronto won, you know. Like, so we already lost to 72-10, my nigga. I was like these niggas gonna take this away from us too? Nah, fuck that. So yeah, I was actually kind of happy that the Golden State Warriors lost that shit, man.
Good point.
Yeah, but also too, because now you know folks are talking about the demise of the Golden State Warriors and their dynasty, so to speak. I'm just wondering where the next nation is going to be. And we're going to talk about the next nation because the next nation might be the New Jersey. I mean, not the New Jersey, the Brooklyn Nets, because they got not only do they have Kyrie Irving signing with them, but they also signed Kevin Durant today.
Whoa.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hold on. Yeah. Rewind. Yeah. Rewind.
Yeah.
Hold on.
Yeah.
Hold on. Say that again.
Hold on, because I got all these damn, like, these free agency shit. I got the list up right now, man. Let me pull this thing up, man. Because, Yes, sir. So, let's see. We're going to read the story here. This comes out of ESPN.com. Adrian Wojnarowski says the Brooklyn Nets are making a clean sweep in free agency. The team will sign Kevin Durant, Kyrie Irving, and DeAndre Jordan, league sources tell ESPN. Durant is planning to make a formal announcement with details of his plans on Instagram account of the Boardroom, his company-owned media network, at 6 p.m. Durant declined his $31.5 million player option in June, officially setting him up for unrestricted free agency. He was eligible to remain with the Warriors on a 5-year, $221 million deal or sign with another team for 4 years, $164 million. Leading up to free agency, Durant and business partner Rich Kleiman had been in New York where they mulled the star forward's free agency options. Durant had been considering a number of scenarios, including a return to Golden State, while New York, Brooklyn, and the LA Clippers were also believed to be considerations, sources told ESPN. Whichever team won the Durant sweepstakes likely knew it would be without his services for the entire 2019-2020 season. Durant ruptured his right Achilles in the second quarter of Game 5 of the NBA Finals, a devastating injury that changed the entire dynamic of the NBA offseason. He underwent surgery at the hospital for special surgery in New York on June 12th. So, yeah, man, he's going to go there with Kyrie Irving and DeAndre Jordan. The Brooklyn Nets done, like, swept in and shocked a lot of motherfuckers, man. What Brooklyn Net for real?
Yo, don't they have Russell?
They have D'Angelo Russell. However, because the Brooklyn Nets have signed D'Angelo, I mean, because they signed Kyrie Irving, they're going to renounce their rights to D'Angelo Russell. And the Los Angeles Lakers are actually trying to get him back on that squad.
Yo, this was all today?
This is today, man.
Oh, Hold on. That's nigga. So much information.
Nigga. So check it. I named this episode like some shit about Kyrie Irving because he did some dumb shit in Boston. Like he called a radio station in Boston, right? And like he called himself defending himself, but it was as if he tried to call himself like he was somebody else. You know, he called the radio station like he was somebody else, like Donald Trump used to do. You know what I'm saying? He used to call publicists and shit. Like, yeah, I work for Donald Trump. I'm his press man and all this other. But everybody knew, like, this nigga, he ain't even had a wherewithal to change his voice up. He called the radio station in Boston saying, like, it was something about the way that they were treating him in Boston. He just felt like he couldn't stay there. You know what I'm saying? he's going to the Brooklyn Nets along with Kevin Durant and DeAndre Jordan. And like I said, D'Angelo Russell is probably on his way back to the Los Angeles Lakers. And truth be told, it's probably good for him because most of the people he was calling himself, like he had problems with for snitching on them, they ain't there no more. They ain't there no more. Even Magic. Magic is gone too. Magic the one that shipped his ass out.
Hey, I ain't gonna lie. D'Angelo at the one sounds delicious.
Hold on. So we got Stacey in the chat room. He said, y'all mention the Knicks and I'll be back after these messages. Oh, man. Hold on, man. I got something for these Knicks, man. Hold on. It's because the Knicks, damn it. Did I have it? I thought I had it. Never mind. You lucked out, Stacey. You lucked out, my dude, because the Knicks, don't nobody want to play for the Knicks, man. My sincerest condolences to all Knicks fans. y'all been going through it. But what I really want to say for my Knicks fan is, like, y'all are really suffering through the curse of Hugh Hollins, man. This is the curse of Hugh Hollins coming to bite y'all in the ass. Because ain't no way in fucking hell y'all was supposed to be in them 94 finals, bro. Y'all got them finals on a bullshit call, B, and y'all been suffering for it ever fucking since. Y'all thought Carmelo was going to bring y'all to the promised land. Nope. Y'all thought, who's that? Amari Stoudemire was going to be the one. Nah, B. His knees was shaky as hell when y'all got him. Amari Stoudemire was Derrick Rose 1.0, goddammit. His knees was shot.
That's funny.
When y'all got him. But, KD then left to go to State Warriors, man. What you think about that, man?
First of all, let me go back to something you said. What's going to be the next nation?
Yeah, because you know it's always going to be a nation. Everybody hops on that bandwagon and pretend like they've been rooting for this team since they was 5 years old.
I'm saying this now with confidence. I got the Brooklyn Nets as a two seed in the East, maybe even a one, blindfolded, don't even know who's on the bench. Kyrie and KD. Never would have thought of those two coming together. And DeAndre Jordan?
Yeah. So here's the kicker, though. They're not going to be number one or number two next season, I don't believe. Only because KD not playing this upcoming season. He's got a year off to recover from his Achilles injury. So
I forgot about that.
So here's the thing. Go ahead.
You said something in that narrative. Yes, the Nets have surprised the world. For real. Those are some huge pickups. They have, I mean, DeAndre Jordan is even an all-star. They just picked up a big trifecta, man. They got, to me, the best point guard in the game, the best power forward in the game. Yeah, and DeAndre Jordan is solid, man.
Yeah,
that's nice.
It's a damn nice haul, man. I think here's the thing that I think is very that kind of facilitated this move, though. I don't see, and this is where we get into the ifs, ands, and all these other things. I don't know if we see Kevin Durant leaving the Golden State Warriors had he not played in that finals game and tore his Achilles.
Yes, he would have left.
You think he would have left? You think he would have left? Why do you think he would have left?
I think I talked about this maybe two shows ago. There was a an interview. Clay, Steph, Iguodala, KD, and DeAndre. All right, those are all the big boys on the team. There is this interview, and while they're doing the interview, everybody is sitting around each other laughing at like a joke that Steph said or Clay, whoever it was. And KD, he was sitting there literally like he's not even – he knows him. You know what I'm saying? There was always a lot of word around the fact that KD didn't fit in with them in the locker room. Mm. You know, so I think that he got two rings and two finals MVPs. So, well, he's done. It's time to move on. And I guarantee you there was a phone call like, yo, Kyrie, you want to get KD? too.
So here's the thing. I don't necessarily, I haven't heard any of those things, right? But I kind of believe that if KD doesn't rupture his Achilles, then he stays with that particular, then he stays with Golden State. And the reason why I say that is I think when he tore his Achilles, the news around his injury in the playoffs was that it wasn't an Achilles, it was a calf muscle injury. And that,
yep.
And yep. That, you know, that if he was to play once he came back, that he was already hurt as much as he was going to be hurt, and that there wasn't there was no chance of him rupturing his Achilles. Like that was the way that they were kind of portraying that news out to the media, out to the public and everything else. And sure. I think once Golden State found themselves behind in the NBA Finals, they put pressure on that dude to come back to help them get back into that series. And he did, you know, what most dudes who feel like, you know, I'm a champion, I'm a great player, you know, these are the things that people write about. You know, we talk about, we lionize Willis Reed when he came out of the stands and shit. He was walking on one leg in the NBA Finals against whomever, you know, the last time the Knicks was in the Finals, you know what I'm saying, like 50 years ago. We lionized that shit, and I think he was feeling the pressure of that. Like, everybody coming at him like, yo, man, your team is down, man. Like, come on, dude. They saying you all right. In much the same way that, who was that? Andre Iguodala was going on, like, he's doing his press run for his book that he just came out with, and he's saying, like, yo, even when I was hurt, yo, I had a fractured leg, but they was telling everybody I had a bone bruise. And I'm getting pressure from everybody to say, yo, man, so how you feel, man? You ready to come back? You ready to come back? Like, they barely got out of that Houston series last year. And he said, we barely got out of that. And then as soon as we got to the finals, everybody was like, yo, how you feel? How you feel? You ready to come back? This, that, and the other. So I'm thinking that pressure to come back, and then also the fact that they told him he could not rupture his Achilles, and he did, was what sealed the fate of Kevin Durant not coming back to Golden State Warriors. I feel like they maybe misdiagnosed him, and then they pressured him to come back, and then it cost him because, I mean, well, it probably did. It didn't cost him money because I think that was the biggest thing. Like, he got hurt at the worst fucking time. He's about to become a free agent, and, you know, your money is like, yo, now this motherfucker's hurt. But Brooklyn is willing to take that shot, that chance, and they willing to wait a year because they're going to wait a year for him to come back in 2020 and see what it does.
Stacy, you say that's why I respect guys like Kawhi who don't have public pressure. Kawhi has mad public pressure. He just wasn't hurt with it. That's all. Because everybody wanted, huh?
No, I think you kind of reiterating Stacy's point right now. Because basically, with Kawhi in San Antonio was pressuring that dude to come back. His teammates were also pressuring that dude to come back. They were also making statements out in the media like, yo, man, like, you know, doctors say he's good. He should be out here playing with us. Tony Parker was one of those. Tony Parker and Manu Ginobili was out here making statements about the fact that they thought that Kawhi Leonard should be out there playing. And Kawhi the whole time was telling them, like, yo, man, I ain't right. And he sat out that whole year. He played 9 games. He sat out that whole year. And people talk cash shit about Kawhi Leonard while he's with the San Antonio Spurs until they ultimately just had to let him go. They had to trade him away. So right. I think you kind of like reiterating his point. I think they're all making the same point.
Well, talking about Kawhi, right? Where he going?
As of right now, the word is that Kawhi has been talking to the Lakers, but he wants a meeting with Jeannie Buss and Magic Johnson. Yeah, that's who he wants to talk to. He don't want to talk to Rob Pelinka. He wants to talk to Jeannie Buss and Magic Johnson, and Magic Johnson ain't fucking with them like that no more. So, but guess that's what? That's the Magic, word.
Magic is a Laker.
He's a Laker, no doubt.
He's going to talk to Kawhi. Trust that. He may not be the GM, but he's going to talk to Kawhi. Come on, man. Come on. Are you serious? They get Kawhi. If it's LeBron, Kawhi, and AD.
We looking at a Brooklyn LA Finals?
I'm calling this right now. No, because KD's not playing this year.
Okay.
This year,
uh-huh,
the Lakers are going to win it all. What's today's date? On record, they get Kawhi, they're winning the whole damn thing.
You think so? Sound like Stephen A, because Stephen A said the whole thing. He said, as a matter of fact, Stephen A. Smith said that with the addition of Anthony Davis, that he thinks that the Los Angeles Lakers are already the favorites to win the NBA championship with just LeBron and Anthony Davis.
I can taste that a little bit, but with Kawhi, I can digest it. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah. I could definitely see them being like instant championship contenders. I guess the only thing with that is I just wonder who the fuck they're gonna put around these dudes, man.
I wonder about that. I'm not giving the Lakers a possibility. It's a guarantee. They're gonna win it all. Period. Right now, they're gonna win the championship. I don't care who comes out the East. I don't care about the Nets. Matter of fact, if it was the Nets and the Lakers, I'm taking the Lakers because I'm not picking nobody over LeBron.
Wanna put some money on it?
That, what type of beer is that? Is that a Blondie?
Nah, man, this is a Goose Island wheat, extra lemony, extra bright. So it might be a Blondie. I don't know, but it's good.
I'm putting it out there now. They get Kawhi. I don't care if Magic came out of retirement with Barkley, and they go, the Lakers gonna win. And I'm not a Laker fan. I love LeBron, but guess what? They gonna win, and the Bulls gonna suck, just like the Pistons.
Yeah, the Bulls gonna suck, man. The Bulls, they've been sucking for a while. They did all that goddamn tanking only to get the seventh motherfucking pick, man.
I like the player though.
I can't believe it though. I'm just saying, man. Tank all fucking year to get the seventh pick, man. That's some bullshit. But yeah, man, that's one of the moves. Kemba Walker from the Charlotte Hornets and signed a 4-year, $141 million deal with the Boston Celtics, man. So they had to replace Kyrie Irving with somebody. Do you think that Kemba Walker is a worthy successor to Uncle Drew?
I talk about Kemba just as much as I talk about Uncle Drew. Mm. So they didn't lose anything. They lost nothing.
Yeah, I don't think they lost anything either. And the other part about it is, for the way in which like Kyrie Irving came over to Boston, like Boston was already a good squad. And they went to the motherfucking Eastern Conference Finals without Kawhi, without Kyrie Irving. And you thought that by plugging Kyrie Irving in there, I know I did, by plugging Kyrie Irving in there, and then you add a player like Gordon Hayward to that mix, you think that like, yo, on paper, they're like, yo, man, they're going to be all right. They're going to, you know, if they got to the West, or if they got to the Eastern Conference Finals with the what they had, you add these two talented players, they should go even further. And they didn't. Yo, they regressed like a motherfucker. What's so funny?
Stacy in the comments, man. Like, yo. Oh, man, that's funny.
Hold on. What he's saying? Remember when people used to refer to Dick Gregory as a kook? That's what Cliff sounds like right now.
I don't know what he's referring to. My idea maybe about the Lakers winning it all.
I think that's what he's talking about.
Oh, okay.
What he's talking about. But yeah, man. So with Kyrie Irving, as talented as a player as he was, yo, he wasn't really gelling with his teammates much at all. Like his teammates really couldn't stand him. A lot of them kind of looked at him as like, yo, this dude is pretty much out for self. He's not really into the whole team dynamic. And then you also get word, they're like, yo, even with Gordon Hayward, they felt like Gordon Hayward was being kind of forced upon them as far as like feeding him into the rotation, feeding the ball to him to get him going. So it gets kind of stunted the Boston Celtics' growth. So to lose Kyrie Irving and to gain a player like Kemba Walker, I think it's kind of a wash for the Boston Celtics right now.
Next topic. You spoken like a champ.
Yeah, so Kristaps Porzingis signed a 5-year deal with the Dallas Mavericks for $158 million, man. Any thoughts on that one?
$158 million is all I'm no, I think that he's down there with Luke.
No, I was gonna say shit. Kemba just signed with Boston for 4 years, $141 million.
I know.
Crazy motherfucking money, man.
No, I was going to say, Porzingis down there with Luke is going to be very, very nice to see those two big boys in that, well, one in the paint, one on the outside. Mm-hmm. That's going to be nice. I mean, Dallas really is in the building stage, so I think it's just going to, they'll be a playoff contender after that.
Yeah, man, they down there, they got the Aryan Nations, twofer right there, man. They got Luka Doncic and Kristaps Porzingis, man. They got the Aryan.
Did you say Aryan Nation?
They got the Aryan Brotherhood going on down in Dallas.
That is not cool.
They got two of the best white players on their squad, man. Real talk. All they need is motherfucking Gordon Hayward, man. And you got all three of the best white players in the league. Hey, if they can get... No, they're not going to get him. He just signed with somebody else. But I was thinking about J.J. Redick. Woo!
I can't stand Redick.
Woo! I'm saying the boy can shoot, though. You got to give him that, man.
He's been shooting since 99.
I'm going to be a hater all your life, bro.
Not a
hater. I'm going to be a hater all your life, bro. Also, man, so the Memphis Grizzlies signed Jonas Valanciunas to a 3-year, $45 million contract, man. Let's see, Damian Lillard re-signed with the Portland Trail Blazers.
How much he get?
4 years, $196 million.
God!
Yeah, he earned it, man.
Four years, $200?
Yes, sir.
That's 50 a year.
Crazy.
That's $50 million a year.
Crazy. And I ain't mad. Get all your motherfucking bread. This league will use your ass to fuck up. Get all your bread, niggas. Get all your bread, niggas. That is crazy. I know Michael Jordan sitting at home like, ain't this a bitch? he's a billionaire right now, but I bet you he'd still be like, this is some bullshit, man. All the shit I did for this league, this motherfucker ain't won a championship and he making more money than I ever did in my playing career. This is crazy. Crazy money getting paid out.
200 million.
4 years, bro. 4 years, 196. Crazy. Crazy money. But here's one that I thought was very motherfucking interesting, bro. I thought that, because I seen this, and when I saw this, I was like, you got to be fucking kidding me, man. Derrick Rose signed with the Detroit Pistons for 2 years, $15 million. Yeah, man.
He with the Pistons?
He with the Pistons.
Derek, I love you, man. I'm not laughing at you. I'm just saying. Oh, my God.
Derrick Rose with the motherfucking Pistons, man. Who saw this coming, bro? Like, I don't think in the annals of sports unknowings, and I just made that shit up, the annals of sports unknowings, nobody's seen Derrick Rose, the jewel from Chicago South Side, Simeon High School's finest, Memphis University's best, the Chicago Bulls' first MVP outside of Michael Jordan, signing with the motherfucking Detroit Pistons. Bro, I'm tell you, man, that need to play ball and that money, it makes for strange bedfellows, bro. Like you can't, you root for the Bulls, you can't be like, I mean, I know the Bulls had at one point got like Dennis Rodman from the Pistons and shit, but it wasn't like, you know, it was like, you know, I know Pistons fans felt a little way about that. You know what I'm saying? Like, man, this nigga, man, y'all ain't only win the championship because y'all got our leftovers, nigga. Y'all ain't about to win no chip in Detroit with this dude, you know. I'm just saying that right now.
Say something right now. Detroit might mess around and go to the Eastern Conference Finals.
No, they not.
What if Derek wins a ring in Detroit?
Man, you know how many heads in Chicago going to explode?
Yeah, I know.
Nigga, you know how many heads in Chicago? Niggas are like, what the fuck, bro? Niggas going to be upset, B. They going to be upset. Like, I can't believe Derek won a chip with the motherfucking Detroit Pistons, nigga. Our arch rivals, nigga. He won a – like, here's the thing. The thing about Derrick Rose is I'm surprised that he even considered them as an option growing up in Detroit. I mean, growing up in Chicago, right? Because you know the rivalry. You know the history behind it. Now, like, say, for instance, like, because it's not the first time that the Pistons have signed former Chicago Bulls players. Like, I remember they bought...
John Sally?
No, John Sally was a Piston before he was a Bull. But
that's what I'm saying.
No, I'm saying the Pistons signing former Bulls. Not the other way around. I'm sorry. So one of the names I think about is Ben Gordon. When Ben Gordon when he got his big contract leaving the Chicago Bulls, it was the Detroit Pistons that gave him all that motherfucking money. And
killing.
Yeah, he ain't do shit. But it also worked back the other way though. It worked back the other way because I remember the Bulls giving Ben Wallace a shit ton of money to come to Chicago, and Ben Wallace not really giving them much of anything. And we all know that he only did it because they were like, yo, man, we're going to give you all this money. Like, there was no reason for the Bulls to sign Ben Wallace. Like, none at all.
I like Ben Wallace, man. I have a cousin.
His best years were behind him when the Bulls signed him. Let's just keep it a buck. His best years were motherfucking behind him.
Sometimes it's not always about it being your best years. Your influence on the team can be crucial, you know, stuff like that.
Nobody remembers the Ben Wallace influence on the motherfucking Chicago Bulls, man. Get the fuck out of here with that bullshit.
I'm saying the reason why they was picking him up. That's all.
Cliff over here like,
oh, that was different.
Fuck out of here, man. Yeah, man. Hey,
that's good. I like that. That's good. You've been waiting to use that low-key.
Hey, man, you know, they've been here for a while. You know what I'm saying? Now, a lot of Pistons fans probably feeling like,
oh, man, hey.
But nobody cares, B. Nobody cares.
You let the whole hate thing play. That's the first time you did that, like, all the way through without cutting it off.
I never cut it off.
That's what says hate.
I never cut it off, man.
I've never heard that part. Either we laughing already, or I just never heard that part.
Y'all be laughing, man. I never cut it off.
That is hilarious.
So yeah, hey, man. It's been so those are right now as of this recording. Those have been the major free agency signings in the NBA right now, man. And one of the things I love about the NBA is the fact that, like, even in the off season, we get to have shows like this where we speculate on where motherfuckers going, what they going to do, what teams are going to sign who. We get to figure out, like, okay, so they going to be, you know, this is going to be the squad going into next year, this, that, and the other. Like, I don't know if any other league, we don't really pay attention to hockey like that, so I don't know if they do this for the hockey. But not even the NFL and not in Major League Baseball, where when you start talking about free agency, people get so excited in the offseason to see where guys are going to go. I don't know if any other league.
I know why.
Say what?
I know why.
Why is that?
Timing. They just won the championship a couple weeks ago, mm-hmm. and people are feeding off. They're still feeding off the win, right? And guess what? The buzz. They're just keeping that little fire hot, man. Because after. I mean, I'm not a big hockey fan, but after the hockey finals, the NBA finals, and the Super Bowl, it's baseball until the end of August. Now, I like it, but somebody like yourself, you know, not really an athletic individual, you can wait for something else to come.
This motherfucker right here, bro. Although I would agree with your punk ass when it comes to the timing, because when you think about when the off seasons come for baseball, off season have their winter meetings and shit. While the winter meetings are going on, NFL football is still going on. College football is still going on. NBA basketball is still being played. So there's not really a whole lot of attention being paid to the winter baseball meetings, other than baseball fans, pretty much. Even in the NFL, though, when the NFL season is over, their free agency period kind of comes and goes. But like it's different in the sense of because how many different players are on the team. So you got, like, you know, on offense is 11 guys, on defense is 11 guys. So one guy doesn't necessarily affect the game as directly as one superstar in the NBA could on any given team because it's five guys on each side. So right. I think the level of influence that a star has on the NBA game and when they go on to the free agency thing, I think that also kind of plays into the amount of excitement that people have about NBA free agency. And then you got the draft that's like right in front of that. You know what I'm saying? So people are kind of speculating, okay, so these guys are coming out and these guys are going to be available. So you get all of this speculation going into the next season. And like, it's folks are real hyped up. It's real smooth how the NBA got their shit set up. And hockey could if people gave a fuck about hockey like that. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Because they play their seasons at the same time, and their seasons pretty much end around the same time.
The let's see, the Blues won 4 days right before the finals were over. So I was just looking at my phone to see if anything happened with Jimmy Butler.
Yeah.
And he said he wants to play for the Heat. That don't mean he's going to play for the Heat. But I hope he goes somewhere where he fits in. I thought he was a good piece of the puzzle for Philly. I guess not, you know?
Oh, so Terry Rozier signed with the Houston – I'm sorry, he didn't sign with the Houston Rockets. He signed with the Charlotte Hornets. So that was almost like a
– Oh, yeah. They just, now Boston is down now.
Yeah. Well, and see, here's the thing. This is the thing that with bringing Kyrie Irving in and forcing Kyrie Irving on the Boston Celtics, like Rozier balled his ass off in those playoffs, and he still had to take a back seat to Kyrie Irving. And now, like you've put a bad taste in the mouth of a player who really could have been a cog in your team going forward. And so now he's like, fuck y'all. You know what I'm saying? So you lose Kyrie Irving, and you lose him. I mean, they get, you know, Kemba Walker on the back end, but, you know, and Kemba Walker is a very good player. But yeah, you lose some depth when you lose a player of Rozier's caliber.
How much did he get?
Let me go back to it. Let me see here. Terry Rozier gets a 3-year, $58 million deal.
Okay.
3 years, good. $58 million. So yeah, man, he's getting his bread, man. A whole lot of NBA players out here getting that bread. But that's all like our free agency shit and everything, man. We got the NBA award thing that just happened last week. The NBA awards were given out, and they got an NBA awards show now, man. Do you watch the NBA awards show?
Huh?
Hold on, nigga. Huh? Be like,
it's not never.
Nigga ain't never watched the NBA awards show. I tried to check it out, right? I watched a little bit of it. I watched a replay of it because I didn't watch it when it was live. And I got to say, like, they're trying to stretch this out and, like, make it like a typical award show. And it's just bad, man. It's just bad. Like, they could have just left well enough alone. Announce when the guy has won a particular award. Present him with his award when they in the playoffs or whatever, and he gets to celebrate with his team. He can go with the press and, you know, do the little press conference with the award or whatnot. They should have just left well enough alone. But they're trying to do this award show thing, and they're spread. The problem is they don't have enough awards to have such a long ass show.
That's what I was gonna say too.
That's what it is. They got a long-ass award show, and it's not that many awards to give out. You got Coach of the Year. You got NBA MVP. You got Rookie of the Year, Most Improved Player, Defensive Player of the Year, Sixth Man. You got an Executive of the Year. So you got, like, 8 awards you're really giving out, but you want us to fill in 2 hours for these 8 awards. So now you got a whole bunch of filler. And in this filler, you talk about, you know, these are the guys who are on the All-NBA team. And, you know, then we got our NBA Cares program that nobody cares about. And then, you know, we got all this shit, man. And, like, it's like, come on, man. Just leave it alone. Y'all could have just, like, left it alone. But some folks want some awards. And we go talk about some of these people who won some awards. So
NBA Cares Awards. Hold on. That's funny. Yo, Stacey, man. Best joke you had tonight, right there.
Yes, indeed, man. So we're going to go to this awards list, and we're going to see who won what. And Coach of the Year, the finalists for the Coach of the Year were Doc Rivers for the LA Clippers, Mike Malone of the Denver Nuggets, and Mike Budenholzer of the Milwaukee Bucks. And Mike Budenholzer won NBA Coach of the Year this year. You think they got that right?
They got that right.
Yeah. But, I mean, Milwaukee came from out of nowhere, man. I really didn't see Milwaukee being the best motherfucking team in the league as far as NBA record was concerned. I did not see that coming at all.
Neither did I.
So he had them boys playing real good, and, you know, it didn't hurt that he had the Greek Freak on his squad. But still, them boys played out of control, They didn't, you know, make it to the NBA Finals or nothing like that. They played a damn good regular season, and the NBA Coach of the Year award is a regular season award. But yeah, I didn't see Milwaukee, you know, being the best team regular season wise at the end of the season. So yeah, for them to have Mike Budenholzer Coach of the Year, I could definitely see it, man. The NBA's Most Improved Player. We had D'Angelo Russell, who was a finalist. De'Aaron Fox was a finalist. And the winner of the NBA's Most Improved Player Award was Pascal Siakam of the Toronto Raptors.
Great.
Damn, show got that one right. Damn, I was like, God damn, like this boy can play. Like, and you know, sometimes, here's the thing though. Like, sometimes, you know, I would get back into my old school mindset and be like, when you see a big guy like running up the floor, you know, handling the rock or whatever, you're like, hey man, get a motherfucking ball up. Put the ball in your point guard's hands, right? But there were so many times where Pascal Siakam would come down the court and make a play, like full court play. And you'd be like, well, shit, I need to just shut the fuck up then, because he knew what he was doing the whole time. That's, I mean, he pretty much balled the fuck out this year. And he damn sure, to me, looked like the most improved player. I mean, because I didn't see him. I didn't see this for Pascal Siakam. I really didn't.
It's even easier for me. I didn't even know who the hell he was. How about that? So in the finals, he put up 30 maybe three times. Yeah. Guess what? When you do that in the finals against a team like Golden State and somebody never even heard of you, the award should have been overnighted.
Hey, so check this out. I gotta go run real quick. Gotta make a little trip. I'm gonna play some music in the meantime though. How about that?
Spray.
There you go. Uh oh, turn this shit up though.
With that black paddy. Guess who's Bizak? Back on the block with them O's. Face mob, Mac, mittens, and hoes. Will make me relapse. Back to the block with the foe. Cause the street shit is all I know.
Now the funeral is over, and all the tears are dried up. Niggas hanging deep on the cut, getting fired up. Looking for the nigga who pulled his pistol on my homie. An eye for an eye, so now your life is what you owe me. Look deep into the eyes of your motherfucking killer. I want you to witness your motherfucking murder, nigga. And since you wants to kill, then your ass has got to fry. But ain't no police, therefore your ass has got to die. We play the game for keeps, and if you slept, I guess you sleep. You shouting the fuck, and now your ass is 6 feet deep. Cause where I come from, yo, everybody's got a cat. And niggas try your ass just to see where you got your heart. And if your shit is flimsy, then your ass is gonna bend. And like I said before, there'll be no tears in the end. I'm rolling through your hood.
All right. Fucking Scarface, and like, I need to start listening to that nigga more. But yeah, man, what were we talking about? What were we talking about?
It's been a lot.
The awards. So as I'm looking down this awards list, though, there's actually a lot more awards than I thought there were. They got an award for like sportsmanship. They got an NBA Cares Award. They got a Lifetime Achievement Award that Larry Bird and Magic Johnson got. They got a Hustle Award. They got a the Tywin Stokes Teammate of the Year Award. They got Teammate Award. Look at that. They got an Executive of the Year Award. So, yeah, man. They got more awards than I thought they did. Still, like, most people don't give a fuck about most of them awards. So we're going to go on to the next award, though, the next major award, and that's the NBA Defensive Player of the Year Award. And the three finalists for this award were Paul George of Oklahoma City Thunder, Giannis Antetokounmpo of the Bucks, and the winner of the award was Rudy Gobert of the Utah Jazz. So how you feel about Rudy Gobert winning that?
Oh, no. I ain't never watched him, so... I'm like, oh, Twan, you watching the Jazz game, man? No. Yeah. So,
So check it. I was actually like of the mind that I think Giannis should have won it.
Yeah, I was gonna say that.
I think because not only I think, and this is I don't know if this is controversial or not, but I just kind of think that because Giannis was also an MVP candidate, and he seemed to have the most valuable effect on his squad than Rudy Gobert did. I just kind of feel like, yo, Giannis should have probably got that award as well as winning the MVP award, which he did. But I'm going to just go ahead and foreshadow that shit. He won the MVP award. For those of you who didn't know, now you know. You know what I'm saying? Wait a minute. So, yeah, man, Rudy Gobert of the Utah Jazz won the Defensive Player of the Year award. The NBA Sixth Man Award. This is something kind of controversial, though, right? Because they got two players on one team that are finalists for this one award. And the sixth man. So it's two niggas coming off the same bench. Right? But you got Domantas Sabonis of the Indiana Pacers, who was a finalist for this award. Then you have Montrezl Harrell of the LA Clippers. And Lou Williams of the LA Clippers was also a finalist for this award. And Lou Williams was the one who won that particular award.
Okay.
You was going to say what?
Lou Williams is a good pick.
Lou Williams is a good pick. However, I kind of wonder if he's really the sixth man, if his teammate, who's also coming off that same bench, is a finalist for this award, whether or not Lou Williams should have got it. I'm just saying, like, I just feel like if you got two niggas off the same team coming off the same bench and they both are finalists for this award, it should probably go to Sabonis because he ain't got no, but he's definitely the best player coming off of his bench. Just saying. You got to fight on that same team. So that's how I feel about that one. You got the NBA Rookie of the Year award this year. Trae Young was a finalist of the Atlanta Hawks. DeAndre Ayton of the Phoenix Suns was a finalist. And Luka Doncic of the Dallas Mavericks was the winner of this award. And who did not see that coming? I mean, considering the year that he had, and I know before we had made a lot of picks before the season started of who we thought was going to win what. And none of us, I don't believe, said Luka Doncic was going to win that award. But as the season played on, it was like, okay, yeah, it's not even fucking close.
Luka, you want me to go through these?
Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead and pull them up.
So, Rookie of the Year, I had Mo Bamba, which I love Mo Bamba. Rookie of the Year, I had Rookie of the Year, Mo Bamba. MVP, I had Westbrook.
Man, he wasn't even a finalist.
Sixth man, I had Jamal Crawford.
He wasn't either.
Defensive player, I had AD. Coach of the year, I had Tibbs. And most improved, I had Embiid. Man. You had rookie of the year, Wendell Carter Jr., which.
Man. I was over. I was on some good shit that night.
You had LeBron for MVP. This, you was definitely on something that night. You got Ball as the sixth man of the year.
Hey, man, I thought the boy had potential. I mean, he still do. He going to be one of them building blocks for the New Orleans Pelicans going forward, man.
Whatever. Defensive player of the year, you had AD. Coach of the year, you had Brad Stevens. And most improved, because he's here, you had Chris Dunn. Nobody had anything.
Yeah, man, we was way the fuck off.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, it happens.
Yeah, we was way off, man.
Yeah, Luka, if you'd have put a penny in Vegas that Luka would have got the Rookie of the Year, you'd be a millionaire.
I don't know about all that. I think a lot of people probably did consider him one of the better rookie prospects. The thing is now is that I feel like because we don't get a chance to see a lot of these European players play, we just kind of have this bias towards whether or not they're going to be a top-notch prospect or not, because we don't get a chance to see them play before they get here. Like, and that's one of the things that I know we when we talk about like NBA prospects and stuff. And I was talking to somebody at work about this before. It's like, man, before, you know, when we were kind of coming up, an NBA player. Or a rookie or whatever, you kind of got a chance to watch the dude kind of come up through college and everything else, and you saw his development. You saw him like, yo, that dude gonna be something once he get to the league. And now you don't necessarily have that as much because the dudes, they're not staying in college as long as they were before. And because the game is starting to, is now a global game, they're picking players from places that you have never seen. And so because you've never seen these players, you might see a highlight clip of him, you know, here and there. But it's like, yo, it's like a clip. You didn't get a chance to really see this guy play. And so, like, with a player like Luka Doncic, with a player like Giannis, like, you didn't see that. You don't get a chance to see that potential because you never saw what they saw. And so what's interesting, though, is that of the major awards that were handed out, like MVP, Rookie of the Year, and it was another award, like the top three major awards, Rookie of the Year, MVP, and I believe Defensive Player of the Year, all of them went to a foreign-born player. Yeah. And Most Improved Player, Pascal Siakam is from Cameroon. Rudy Gobert, I believe he's from France. I'm not sure about that, but I believe he's from France. Luka Doncic. I don't know where Luka Doncic is from. I could look it up, but I don't have time.
Serbia.
He's from Serbia, okay. And Giannis is from Greece. So you got all these players who are from other parts of the world. We never saw these guys play before they got here. And that's the thing now is like, yo, you know, YouTube kind of gives you access to a lot of these things, but you don't get it. We didn't grow up watching these guys play ball. We didn't grow up watching these dudes play college ball and being able to see the potential that they had because we don't get a chance to see them those games before they get here.
Hmm.
So, yeah, man. I believe that's about it, man.
Yeah, I think so, we kind of touched.
So, let's go ahead and do our little thing. And we're going to wing it as soon as I can find that shit. It's been a while, y'all.
We'll do it live.
Okay.
We'll do it live. Fuck it.
Cliff, what you winging it on tonight, fam?
It never gets old. That never gets old. And for those of you who doesn't know where that little snip came from, Google it and listen to the whole thing. But no, I am winging it on LeVar Ball.
Okay.
When they traded his son. They said the hold on, I gotta get this out. He said the Lakers would never win a championship again. Listen, man. I thought that was the funniest thing I heard in at least the last 6 months. Not only do I already feel like he already lost his mind, you know, some years ago,
mm-hmm.
he done lost everything in his mind, man. He think because his son left, they ain't gonna win. I'm gonna give his son two more years in the league, man, and that's it. Maybe three. But that if okay, so for those that don't know, LeVar Ball made a statement. He was at home and, you know, ESPN came to his house and they said, you know, how you feel about him letting your son go? And his response was the Lakers will never win another championship. Hilarious. Hilarious. You have that little snippet that, you know, that what was that show? He said, come on, man. Remember that?
I think I know what you're talking about, but I don't have it. I don't have it.
But come on, man. That is hilarious, man. That's all I'm winging it on, man.
All right. So I'm winging it tonight on LeVar Ball as well.
Oh, word.
I was going to wing it on Derrick Rose, but we talked about Derrick Rose joining the Pistons and shit. So that was originally going to be my wing, but fuck it. We talked about it during the show. So I'm going to wing it on LeVar Ball as well. And the reason why I'm going to wing it on LeVar Ball tonight is this, man. So we saw the NBA draft happen. For those of us who watched the NBA draft, we saw a lot of NBA players, a lot of young black players get up, man, and fulfill their dream as NBA basketball players. To have their name called on draft night, you know, it was a beautiful thing, right? And in that moment, a lot of times you saw those players' dads right there with them, supporting them, you know, like kind of like, you know, just and the guys are just like, yo, man, I want to thank my dad, I want to thank my mom, you know what I'm saying, for supporting me and taking me to the practices and, you know, coaching me and all these other things. And all of those players managed to do that without their daddy trying to be all up in the videos, all up in the interviews, talking. They allowed their sons to enjoy the motherfucking moment, to embrace they got their achievement. Their achievement. For all of you niggas that keep talking about LaVar Ball is the epitome of black fatherhood, fuck y'all, man. It's a whole lot of black daddies out here doing a goddamn thing, and they ain't trying to be all up in the videos, trying to do all the goddamn interviews. Nah, man, they just out here like, yo, man, my son did his goddamn thing, and I'm proud of him, and that's the fucking end of it. We ain't got to see their asses no more. So that's what I'm winging on, man. That's what I'm winging on. Black fatherhood. Black fatherhood. Good black fatherhood. Without embarrassing your goddamn self. So, yeah. That's what it is, man. That's what it motherfucking is. But, yo, we about to get on up out of here. We were running our mouth for quite a while. But, of course, before we do that, we got to remind you guys how to get in touch with us over here at the Beer and Chicken Podcast, man, and let your voice be heard. Go ahead and hit up that hotline at area code 313-288-0485. That's area code 313-288-0485. Leave those voicemail messages. We'll replay them on the show and respond in kind. You can also email us here at feedback@beerandchickenpod.com. That's feedback@beerandchickenpod.com. Leave us those emails, and we will reply to those emails here live on the show. And goddamn. All these brews. we will reply to those emails here live on the show. You can also leave us an iTunes and or Stitcher review. 5 stars, preferably. Those 5-star reviews are the ones that get read here live on the show. We really appreciate everybody who goes about the business of doing that. It's one way to put down for the show that doesn't cost you a dime. Just 2 minutes of your time to tell somebody why you fucking with us over here at the Beer and Chicken Podcast, right? Also, hit up our website at www.beerandchickenpod.com. You can go there and listen to replays of the show. You can vote in the polls over there. You can leave comments over there. You can donate to the show as often as you like, as much as you like. And, of course, we really do appreciate all that money you will give us over at the Span Report Podcast Network and here at the Beer and Chicken Podcast specifically. And then on top of that, you can join our Patreon, man. Become a Patreon patron of the Span Report Podcast Network and help us get this shit off of Facebook, man. That is the goal right now. Get this shit off of Facebook. So go ahead and hit up that Patreon, man. We got 3 different levels, a $2 level, a $5 level, and a $10 level. That will help us move this particular show and all the other shows in the network off of Facebook, because they censor us over here, man. We can't get down like we really want to get down on here. We can't do it. We can't do it. So we really need y'all help in that space. But also, follow me on Twitter and Instagram. My name on both of those platforms is Mr_Span. And the homeboy Cliff's, what's your Twitter, man?
DJ Neff2.
Go ahead and follow the homeboy Cliff on Twitter at DJ Neff2. What about your Instagram?
6.gin.
Well, all right. 6.gin on Twitter.
Deep. 6.gin.deep.
See? 6.gin.deep. We're going to have to put that in the graphics or something. We're going to have to do that later. But yeah, man. We're going to get on up out of here. We will talk to you guys again soon. But until next time, fam. Peace.
Peace out.